Livery.
Thank you so much.
My father was a university professor. And I'm not anywhere near that category. But actually, he could speak without any notes, American history and world history. After about, well, after 20 years or so, he never used notes. I think you're in the same category. Hare Krishna. Your talk, David, brought up all kinds of remembrances of these stories that I've heard from devotees, including my own story. And I think we've all come from an emotional experience coming to Krishna consciousness. And otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here. Of course, Krishna consciousness is full of dancing, chanting, feasting. But we really need to become, you know, true devotees in the sense of really connecting with Krishna. And that's the joy, as David was saying, of this process. When I first came, I was not seeking after religion as such. I was a photographer and doing an assignment, my first professional assignment in New York, covering the temple there for a magazine called Earth Magazine. So when I walked in the temple, the first thing I was taken to by the devotees was the aarti in front of Lord Jagannath, Subhadra and Balaram. And I had an emotional experience at that time that I knew that I would probably never, ever forget. And that actually helped me to become a devotee full-time. Another story that I remember, Mahamsa Swami, actually he was Mahamsa Das Brahmachari. He was here in the early days in Juhu. And my wife and I were also here. There was no temple. There was a small temple. Radharasa Bihari were in a very, very small temple. And Srila Prabhupada was was asking the devotees, how do we know that Krishna is God? So devotees were giving different answers that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, such and such. He showed the universal form. And they went on quite a while. And Srila Prabhupada was not satisfied. So finally, Mahamsa Das Brahmachari, he was quite a new devotee. He says, Srila Prabhupada, I can understand that Krishna is God because I can feel it. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is the answer. So there's emotion. And sometimes we don't accept that as very shastric evidence. But that, at that time, Srila Prabhupada did. So, another interesting story. One devotee came to Laguna Beach, and he had left the movement. And actually, he was the temple president in New York when I first came. Anyway, some years later, he had left the movement. Then he came to see Srila Prabhupada in Laguna Beach. And he very boldly announced it to the Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'm trying to forget Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, that is not possible. And, you know, we may try, and it may be, you know, apparently successful for some time, but ultimately, once we taste that emotion of Krishna, never possible. So emotion, as you so eloquently explained, is such an important part of our process. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Much time. I'm not going to ask you, I'll ask Gauranga.
Between 5 and 10 minutes.
5 and 10 minutes. theory that the perfection of bhakti is the development of bhava and prema, where one is overcome by this volcano of variegated emotions. As the professor said, the whole range, even fear and sadness and devastation. But often we find that devotees think that they should not even attempt to feel these emotions until they are completely purified of all material contamination. So you find often devotees think, let me first have a completely purified state where I have no more disturbance from the mind and senses and emotions, and then I can develop the spiritual emotion. Devotees who think that way, they simply then try to repress the material emotion. This question was brought up by Arjuna in the beginning of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he asked Krishna, what's a better way to start? To first become purified and realize the Atman, or Brahman. Prabhupada defines it as Brahman. Some commentators say the Atman. Or one should start with bhakti from the beginning. And as we know, Krishna says, Klekto Dikataraksham, that better you start with bhakti from the beginning. But let's try to understand clearly the two different paths that are outlined in the 12th chapter and what we can do now, even if we are beginners in the path of bhakti. So in the 8th verse of the 12th chapter, Krishna says, just love me. Being overwhelmed with love. If we've ever loved anyone in this world, who here has ever loved anybody in this world? Who's ever been in love with somebody? Come on. Somebody. Nobody wants to admit they were in love, huh? That's all you can think about is that person. Or those of us who are parents, you know, when your child is born, all you think about is your child. You're waking up several times at night. Is he breathing? Is he breathing? You know. Of course, that love decreases. I'm not always calling my children, are you breathing? But we have experienced that when we are in love, it doesn't even have to be in love with another person. It can be in love with a project or a mission or anything that we're in love with. It's consuming. We don't need to control our mind. We don't need to do some sadhana. Oh, let me think about this person I love. I better think about them now. No, it's just, you can't help it. Even something else comes immediately. That's why Prabhupada's speaking on Maya Shaktam Anaparta in Bhagavad Gita 7.1, the most often quoted verse, Srila Prabhupada on Bhagavad Gita in Sanan, India. Prabhupada said, we all know what is a Shakti. We all have a Shakti for something. If you want to know now what you have a Shakti for, think about what you worry about. So in text 8 of chapter 12, Krishna says, immediately come, love. But he said, if you can't do that, then you do Abhyas Yoga. Now, Abhyas Yoga is what's also described in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one should immediately withdraw it and fix it on the self. Abhyas Yoga is primarily that you're controlling the mind and fixing it on Krishna in love. If you can't do that, Krishna says, then at least do some work for me. So very nice. The acharyas have commented that this work for Krishna means the angas of bhakti, but in more of an external and or not so systematic of a way. So you're thinking about Krishna sometimes, you hear about Krishna sometimes, you remember Krishna sometimes, you do some service sometimes. And as that external, what you're doing with the body, as it becomes more systematized, like Srila Prabhupada gave us a system, at least 16 rounds minimum, rising early, offering Mangal Arti, hearing Bhagavatam every day. When it becomes systemized externally, and when it starts to become internalized, that in the mind you're thinking about Krishna, then you progress to Abhyas Yoga. But there's a second path. The second path is first that's described in text 11. And again, this path is not recommended. What is that path? First, you perform varnashram. Materialistic varnashram. You become a pious person. You gradually progress to sattvagun. When you come to sattvagun, then you can perform karma yoga, where you're offering everything as a jagya for the sake of purification. Karma pala tyaga. What is the pala or the fruit of karma? Swarga. And that doesn't just mean Indralok, it means on this planet. Also, the fruit for which we work is happiness. So karma pala tyaga, you give that up. You say, it doesn't matter, I'm working not for my own material happiness, this life or next life, I'm working for purification. After karma pala tyaga, you attain shanti. As the professor was saying, you attain this calmness by which then you can perform abhyas yoga and start to meditate on Krishna. And you may go from karma yoga to gyan yoga, where you're studying the Upanishads to understand I am not this body, and then dhyan, where you're meditating on the paramatma, and then you may come to a state of seeing the self, and then you can do abhyas yoga. And many devotees make this mistake of thinking our Krishna conscious process is something like that. The very process that Krishna says, yes, it's a real process. Bhagunam janmanam ante. After many, many, many verses, you were saying the other part, Vasudev Sarvam. But it's not recommended. We're not recommended that first I'm pious, then I become detached from the fruits, then I realize the self, then I can meditate, then when I'm pure, then I start to pull my mind to Krishna. That is not the process that Mahaprabhu gave us. That is not the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. The process we're given is bhakti from the beginning. That means I immediately try to fix my mind on Krishna. I immediately try to become attached to Krishna, even in an impure state. Just recently, when I was in New Zealand, one lady said, is it all right if I think about Krishna now before I'm pure? And that's not the only time I've had that question asked of me. I remember one other lady said to me, is it all right if I think about Krishna while I chant Hare Krishna? Thinking manmana bhava mad bhakto. So always think of me. Always remember Krishna. I thought, always remember except when you're chanting. Very strange process. All right, so how do we do this? How do we immediately begin bhakti, even if we're not yet pure? So this example is given by the Goswamis. They have this very nice prayer, which relates very much to what Prabhupada said in Sanand India about 7.1. They say, just like a young boy and a young girl are naturally attracted to each other, Lord, let my mind go to you like that. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also prays, as much attachment as I have for material things, let me have that attachment for you. Jiva Goswami explains that even, this is radical, okay? So if you really don't want to hear anything radical, please don't listen. But Jiva Goswami says, even if you're attached to sinful things, you can think like that. My Lord, as much attachment as I have to this terrible thing, I wish I loved you that much. So this is actually very simple. Let's say that something has happened and you're very angry. And you know, right, that kama, krodha, lobha is one of the three great gates to hell. And you're trying, let me just try to control my anger. You know, doesn't work very well. I'm sure you've all had experience of that. So instead of that, if you just look at a picture of Krishna or think about Krishna and think, Krishna, I wish I loved you as much as I am angry about this situation. As much intensity that I feel that someone's insulted me or I bought something and it's broken. you know, or I came home and I expected dinner and my wife was still finishing her rounds and there's no prasadam and whatever it may be. As upset as this makes me, I wish I loved you that much. Whatever material emotions we feel, especially when they're intense, say, Krishna, I wish I loved you as much. I wish I was as devoted to you as much as I care about the things in this world. And if you do that, I guarantee things will shift very quickly. Oh, that's what my emotions are for. They're for Krishna. They're for Krishna. And even as beginners, we can feel some emotions, genuine emotions for Krishna, because he is Krishna. He is the most attractive. You know that story of the thief? You all know the story of the thief? I'm sure Maharaj has told you the story. I can't imagine our master storyteller not telling you the story of the thief. But maybe some of you haven't heard. So one thief happened upon a Bhagavatam class, and he heard that Krishna wears very beautiful jewels and that he lives in Vrindavan. So he was thinking, just like we have one member of our community in Juhu who was a thief. You know that story? And he was in jail and he saw a picture of Prabhupada wearing a nice watch and he said, I'm going to go to the temple and find this man and steal his watch. He eventually became a very nice devotee. So anyway, this thief, he went to Vrindavan and he wanted to see Krishna so much that Krishna appeared before him and said, yes, what do you want? And he said, I want your jewels. And Krishna's a little boy and he's saying, my mommy will be angry if I give you my jewels. And then the thief fell in love with Krishna. So whatever attraction we can have for Krishna, please cultivate that. Don't be afraid to fall in love with Krishna. Don't be afraid to become attached to Krishna. When we're chanting, when we're hearing the books, when we're hearing the class, when we're seeing the deity, allow yourself, even the emotions may be material. Prabhupada says gradually and proportionately. So the other system is, first I become pure, and then I can attain bhakti. Bhakti system is I have the material emotions, and I start decreasing gradually and proportionally as I awaken the spiritual emotions. Very nice to explain in Madhurya Kanambadi. And then everything becomes spiritualized. So this is our very, very simple process. Anybody can do it. Prabhupada said even a dog can do it. What to speak of anybody else? And we can start today. How can I cultivate this asakti? How can I cultivate this attachment, this love, this some intensity of emotion for Krishna in what I'm doing? To think, mamata and abhiman, such nice class. I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. If you start to think, this is my house, you think, no. Krishna is mine. I am a computer pro. No, I am Krishna's. I am a husband. No, I am Krishna's. I am a brahmachari. No, I am Krishna's. So to always substitute, I am Krishna's. Every time you think, I am, and I am Krishna's. Every time you think something is mine, Krishna is mine. Whenever we feel some strong emotion, if only I could feel that emotion for Krishna. And by doing this repeatedly, that is Abhyas Yoga, then we will come to Maya Shaktam Manaparta and we will be swimming in this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, not as a merged drop, but in this tumultuous ocean of spiritual emotion. Thank you. Hare Krishna.